Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, March 17th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here live and direct from beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. There is not a cloud in the sky. The temperatures are in the 70s. It's a beautiful place to be in the middle of March. And happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone out there as well. If you're celebrating St. Patrick's Day, good on you. But if you're going to celebrate with the green, how about the green herb rather than the green beer? It's a whole lot better for you, and you'll feel better tomorrow morning. We had a great time yesterday as I had to cut the show short by an hour because I was interviewed by the local news station here, CBS station in Phoenix, CBS 5, and that report should be on their news tonight. So if you're in the Phoenix area and you're interested in seeing that report, well, make sure you tune in because that should be available tonight. And we'll get you the link just as soon as I have it here at Cannabis Radio headquarters. Now, on today's show, we've got all sorts of information to bring to you, especially if you're interested in marijuana activism. We've got a great guest joining us for our activist agenda at half past the hour. Rick Thompson from Michigan will be talking to us about some developments in Michigan that do not bode well for their medical marijuana, but we'll also talk about the efforts to legalize marijuana there in the state of Michigan as well. That's coming up at half past. Rick Thompson coming up on the show. Also on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant where I'm going to discuss that story we told you yesterday of the teenage girl who was a medical marijuana activist, a medical marijuana refugee, Cindy Mae Meehan, who died this weekend. I need to talk a little bit more about that and explain why we need to legalize marijuana, why medical marijuana will never go far enough, and until we do, more deaths like this will occur. So that's coming up at the end of the show in the Radical Rant. Also on the show today, we'll have time for some drug war data mining. In the data mines today, a new study, some meta-analysis study on marijuana's impact on crash risk, showing that there's been quite a bit of exaggeration on the effects of THC in driving. We'll bring that to you in our drug war data mines. That comes after our behind the headlines segment. Today, we're taking a look at President Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court of the United States, Merrick Garland. He was involved in that case that addressed marijuana's scheduling, and it's kind of surprising what he had to say on that issue. That's Jacob Solomon in Reason has written a great post on that, and we'll take a look at that in Behind the Headlines. But first, we get into our cannabis radio news right after this first break. And in the news today, great news from the state of Pennsylvania, poised to become the 24th medical marijuana state. We got news from Arizona, where they're going to decide on probable cause relating to marijuana smell in this state. Hawaii is looking at safeguarding public safety through medical marijuana testing, which brings us to Colorado, where there's been another huge recall of medical marijuana, marijuana, grown with illegal pesticides, or I should say unapproved pesticides. Rhode Island's governor is interested in the idea of marijuana legalization, and Tampa has become the latest city in Florida to decriminalize marijuana. The details are coming up next in the Cannabis Radio News, and in hour two, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111 in Toker Talk Radio. We'll be back in 2 minutes. I'm Radical Russ, live on CannabisRadio.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great. Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Christian convictions are under attack as never before.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
Cannabis is just one of the many great plants that we have on this planet called Earth that we can use consciously and intelligently to improve our well-being.
Take a real, raw, inside look at healthier living while sharing great ideas and improvements for a better quality of life.
Learning to live and live well is a lifelong process. This is a journey. You could be 80 years old or 8 years old. You can still learn something that's going to make tomorrow a little bit healthier, a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit better.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, March 17th, 2016. A bill to let Pennsylvania patients who suffer from a list of ailments obtain marijuana for therapeutic purposes easily passed the State House on Wednesday, leaving only approval by the Senate, which overwhelmingly passed a similar bill last year. The House voted 149-43 for legislation that would set the standards for growers, dispensaries, and physicians. Patients could take the drug in pill, oil, or liquid form, but would not be able to obtain marijuana they could smoke. The bill would allow people to purchase marijuana from a dispensary after they have been certified by a medical practitioner to have one of the enumerated conditions, including cancer, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, AIDS, glaucoma, chronic or intractable pain, and the first state to include autism. Under the proposal, the state would license up to 25 growers and processors and as many as 50 dispensaries, which could each operate 3 locations. The Arizona Supreme Court plans to decide whether the mere smell of marijuana is enough to justify a search by police in the wake of the Arizona legalization of medical marijuana. The justices agreed Tuesday to consider appeals of contradictory rulings by the Phoenix and Tucson divisions of the State Court of Appeals. A 3-judge panel of the Phoenix division ruled the enactment of the medical marijuana law doesn't eliminate a legal doctrine that says the plain smell of marijuana is sufficient to establish probable cause for a search. A ruling by a divided panel of the Tucson division ruled that circumstances other than the mere smell of marijuana are now needed to provide the legal basis for a search warrant. The justices plan to hear oral arguments on the issue. Hawaii lawmakers are pursuing regulations concerning medical marijuana testing for public safety. Dispensaries are set to open in Hawaii in July, and state lawmakers are pushing a broad bill to address many of the obstacles the industry is facing. The proposed Hawaii law would set requirements for testing medical marijuana's potency and would also test for contaminants such as heavy metals, bacteria, and pesticides. Under state rules, dispensaries must send all marijuana products to a certified laboratory for testing. Colorado marijuana regulators Thursday announced a recall of a large amount of retail pot grown and allegedly treated with unapproved pesticides by MGI Incorporated in Denver, whose cultivation facilities operate under the name Kind Man. The recall, which the state calls a public health and safety advisory, appears to extend to dozens of strains the company has grown as long ago as March 2014 and as recently as January 2016, according to an announcement by the Colorado Marijuana Enforcement Division. MGI owner Ryan Fox said his company, quote, absolutely has not used pesticide in production, end quote, and is challenging the recall. Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo says she's open to the possibility of letting voters decide to legalize pot. The Democrat told reporters Tuesday she's also willing to consider a marijuana legalization bill being debated by state lawmakers, but says there's no need to hurry. She says it's more important to create good regulations and properly address safety concerns than to rush ahead for the economic advantage of allowing the commercial sale of marijuana before other states. Raimondo said she talked recently with Colorado's Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper about lessons learned since his state legalized marijuana beginning in 2014. Democratic House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello says he's considering a non-binding referendum question for the November ballot. He says the House must first take up the current legislation. Tampa City Council gave final approval Thursday to a new law allowing police to fine rather than arrest people found in possession of small amounts of marijuana. Council members voted 5-1 to adopt the law, which gives police the option to issue a civil citation for possession of up to 20 grams, roughly 3/4 of an ounce of marijuana. The new law will take effect once it is signed by Tampa Mayor Bob Buckhorn, who supports the measure. Under the state law, possession of 20 grams of marijuana or less is a first-degree misdemeanor, punishable by up to 1 year in prison or probation and a $1,000 fine. Offenders can also lose their driver's license for up to a year. Under the new law, offenders in city limits would face a fine of $75 first offense, $150 second offense, $300 for third, and $450 for subsequent violations. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, March 17th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Growing green to generate more green.
Hello to all you happy herbalizers, smiling trippy hippies, and everyone who believes in freedom and tolerance. This is The Grow Show, and I'm Kyle Cushman.
From food to fuel, from remedy to resource.
Welcome my guest, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. Let me ask you, right now I hear your lighter clicking. Are you smoking indoor, or are you smoking sun-grown?
What am I smoking? I'm smoking concentrate.
Way to get out of the answer there. So you're truly like the king, right? You just clap your hands and somebody brings you a bowl and you're all set, right?
I wish that were the case.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too. Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we take a look at the Supreme Court of the United States. And following the passing of Justice Scalia, President Obama is set to place another member on the Supreme Court, which the conservative Republicans in the Senate have vowed to block no matter who it is. Well, we now know who that is, and it's a judge named Merrick Garland, And he's cited as being quite a moderate. This may be President Obama's political calculus, figuring if he puts a moderate before those Senate obstructionists and they pass on him, the next person being nominated may be nominated by Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or Bernie Sanders, and would probably be somebody they would like less. So I imagine that has a lot to do with President Obama's selection in a political, kind of a political wedge to force them to pick the best opportunity, the best nominee they're going to have any shot of hearing from. But as we look at his record, we find something that's disturbing for those of us in the cannabis community, and that is that Merrick Garland, and this is from the Hit and Run blog on Reason, Jacob Sullum has written this morning, that he cited with the DEA in the case over the Controlled Substances Act. And this has to do with the long ongoing battle to get the federal government to reschedule cannabis. As we know, cannabis is scheduled as Schedule 1, meaning it has no accepted medical value in the United States, that it has a high potential for abuse and no recognized safety under the discretion of a physician. Of course, this is absurd, and people have been trying since normal, way back in the 70s, to sue to overturn this scheduling. This takes us to 2002, where there was the Coalition to Reschedule Cannabis, and they asked the DEA, take it out of Schedule 1, put it in Schedule 3, 4, or 5. The DEA finally got back to that position in 2011. That's right, 9 years later, they finally took it up and rejected it. Americans for Safe Access got involved with this and challenged this in federal court, saying you can't just reject this because you're being arbitrary and capricious. That's covered in something called the Administrative Procedures Act. Your procedures can't just be arbitrary and capricious. They have to have some sort of backing, some sort of logical foundation. But a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, which included Merrick Garland, the Supreme Court nominee, agreed with the DEA. And this has caused a lot of cannabis consumers and people in the movement to have some doubts and questions about Merrick Garland and how he might rule on cases before the Supreme Court. For example, the suit from Nebraska and Oklahoma over Colorado's marijuana legalization, or other cases that may have to do with the scheduling and classification of medical cannabis on a federal level. However, as Jacob Sullum writes, this really has more to do with his interpretation of the broad powers that the DEA has been given in the Controlled Substances Act. And here's the key paragraph he writes. The Controlled Substances Act allows the Attorney General to reclassify drugs if he or she determines that they do not meet the statutory criteria for their current category. And that authority has been delegated by the Attorney General to the DEA. So the DEA has the power to decide whether or not its own rulings match what the law says they can do. Now, Schedule 1, as I mentioned, are only for drugs that have high potential for abuse, no currently accepted medical use, and a lack of accepted safety. Here's the rub. The Controlled Substances Act doesn't define what those terms mean. What does a high potential for abuse mean? What does no currently accepted medical use mean? What does lack of accepted safety mean? That's up to the DEA to decide. So the DEA gets to decide whether or not its own rules comport with its own definitions that it gets to define. Does that seem like a kangaroo court to you? It sure does to me. But that's the system that we are stuck with under this Controlled Substances Act. So Americans for Safe Access, they argued, well, accepted medical use. What does that mean? We've got 23 states at the time with medical marijuana. We've got U.S. government patents on cannabinoids as neuroprotectants and antioxidants. What more do we need to say accepted medical use? Well, the DEA decided that accepted medical use means it's gone through the FDA trials, large double-blind clinical studies. But of course, marijuana is Schedule 1, so you can't get the marijuana. The federal government has a monopoly on the marijuana. It's the only Schedule 1 drug the federal government has a monopoly on. You can get research heroin, you can get research LSD from numerous sources. Research cannabis you can only get from the National Institutes of Drug Abuse, which doesn't want to give you the research cannabis if you're trying to find out something medical or good about it. So this has been a catch-22 since the beginning of this Controlled Substances Act. And that's what Merrick Garland decided on. The D.C. Circuit upheld, in an earlier case, DEA's definition of accepted medical use, and they brought up the fact that bringing up the catch-22 about Schedule 1 didn't really apply in this case. So the problem is we can't get the change.
What are you people? On dope?
We are not all on dope. We just want our laws to make some sort of sense. We now live in a country where more than half of the people, with the addition of Pennsylvania, more than half of the population lives in a medical marijuana state. How can that not be accepted medical use? All right, it's 20 after. Happy 420 to our friends in the Mountain Time Zone. We'll be back right after this.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in CannabisRadio.com.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
And if standing for the Constitution make you a wackobird, then I am a very, very proud wackobird.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You know, during Dance with the Stars, I started feeling discomfort.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was doing these old man smells. And it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, all the Dancing with the Stars crew, cast and crew, you know, they were all young kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, this old guy would come along and do one of those silent farts, you know, that you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you smell, and everybody go, what the hell smells? And, you know, and you knew it was me. And so I'd scurry off to the bathroom, you know. And that's when I knew that there was something wrong.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we take a look at another article from our friend Jacob Sullum out there at Reason.com. This time it's on Forbes, actually, Forbes.com, entitled, New Study Suggests Marijuana's Impact on Crash Risk Has Been Greatly Exaggerated. And in this, we get some new data from researchers we've heard from before. This comes from Mark Asbridge. He's a Canadian epidemiologist, and he's working at Dalhousie University in Halifax. I probably mispronounced that. My apologies. Ole Rogaberg and Rune Elvik, who work at the Ragnar Frisch Center for Economic Research and the Norwegian Center for Transport Research in Oslo, the three of them work together doing a new meta-analysis of all these previous studies on marijuana and driving, THC and crash risk. And the main point they get to, and this is coming out in the journal Addiction, is that the increase in crash risk associated with marijuana use is roughly 20 to 30%, rather than, like as Kevin Sabet likes to say, double. He often points to a study in the British medical journal that said it was double the crash risk if you were a pot smoker. Now, this may be concerning to some of our listeners out there that say, wait a minute, 20 to 30% greater crash risk? Shouldn't that be zero? Haven't we uncovered some of this data before?
Yes, we have. And these researchers actually took a look at that. And we should keep in mind that people with a blood alcohol of 0.10 are 500% more likely to get in a crash. So we are still talking about a slight increase in risk. But according to these researchers, that increase in risk is there. Now, what they did is they took a look at a lot of this data and they did the meta-analysis, did a lot of math and regressions and statistical analysis on it, and they uncovered some problems with previous studies. There was a previous study that came out in 2012 out of Columbia University that said marijuana use increases crash risk by 166%, more than double. But Rogerberg and Elvick found that they were mixing apples and oranges in their comparisons of who was a cannabis user, who wasn't a cannabis user, who had particular recs, who didn't, and so forth. And it wasn't really a good representative sample. So they continued and did their studies on this and figured out that part of what the problem was is that many of these particular studies are not accounting for other confounding variables. This is some information we talked about with Dr. Mitch on numerous shows, and it basically boils down to this. If you're just taking all of the people who ever got into a crash and figuring out whether or not they had THC in their system when they crashed, you're not accounting for the fact that the people who use marijuana the most tend to be young men between the ages of 18 and 25. And guess who are statistically the worst drivers on the planet? Young men between the ages of 18 and 25. That's why their insurance costs so much, right? So once you account for that factor, then you realize that the crash risk decreases. Once you account for the fact that a lot of this just has to do with the fact that they're young and male, not the fact that they're cannabis consumers, that crash risk all but went away. And we've talked about that on previous episodes where it was nearly equal or like 1.05 risk, like a 5% greater risk. So where are these researchers coming up with 20 to 30% greater risk? Well, this has to do with something I've warned you about. And that is the way that we consider someone a stoned driver is skewed. And sometimes the way that that's skewed does not work in our favor. And this is one of those situations. See, if you just take everybody who's got THC in their system and consider them a stoned driver, you're going to be getting a lot of sober people in that analysis. Now, you know how I've always talked about rehabs and how rehabs boost their success rates by having a whole bunch of stoners in there who aren't addicted? And yeah, duh, you threaten with a P test and sure, they're going to get clean and wow, look how great your rehab is. Well, it works in the other direction when it comes to these studies of cannabis risk. If we find that there's not a whole lot of risk from all the people that have ever used THC, it's because a lot of them have THC in their system, but they're absolutely sober. And they're skewing these results in our favor to convince us that we're not really at risk. And that's why sometimes people in our community are like, oh, I'm a better driver when I'm stoned. I'm so much better. Well, it's not true. And that's what this research is pointing out. It's not true. Because if you can eliminate the people who have THC in their system, but they're sober, take them out of the equation and just analyze the people who have THC in their system that's active and actually affecting them, then it would stand to reason that there's some greater risk because we cannot deny the physiological effects of cannabis do have problems with the lateral tracking in the lane and time exposure and so forth. Still, a 20 to 30% increase in risk is roughly analogous to the increase in risk of a driver at 0.05 blood alcohol level. And 0.05 is not a drunk driver in any state in the United States. So if we've got a society that can accept the risk of a 0.05 alcohol driver, it would stand to reason that we can accept the risk of a 20 to 30% increase in people that have active THC in their system and are then drivers. I've always said that it's very important that we don't try to say marijuana is harmless. That makes it far too easy for our opponents to trap us if we say marijuana is harmless. It's less harm, and what this study indicates is it's far less harm than what's been pushed and peddled to us by the prohibitionists. Let's stick to that and stick to the idea that if we can accept the minor risks of non-drunk drivers, we can accept the minor risks of people that use cannabis. We're back in just 2 minutes with Rick Thompson and news about Michigan. Stay tuned.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
It's time for cannabis facts about teen drug use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Keep your cannabis cravings under control. Feed your mind with cannabisradio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 32 after the hour. Today in the activist agenda, we go to our phone lines where we have Rick Thompson on the line from Michigan. Rick, how you doing today?
Russ, I'm doing fantastic. I love that intro. That's a great one.
Oh, thank you, man. Activism does begin with ACT, and there's nobody out there acting more to reform laws in Michigan than you are out there. You're my go-to guy for Michigan. We've done numerous marijuana election nights together, and I appreciate your activism. So let's get into it. One of the things you had contacted me about was this insidious plot by the Michigan legislature to kind of undermine the ability of Michigan patients and people in the medical marijuana industry to get some sort of injunctive relief. Can you give us some details on what's going on there?
I sure can. In fact, it looks like authorities here in Michigan are beginning a jihad against medical marijuana distribution centers. We've seen a dozen raids in northern Michigan in 48 hours, three raids in Genesee County, four raids on the western side of the state, all within a few weeks together total. So the reason being, we suspect, is because our attorneys are having some success with a defense for medical marijuana distribution centers called entrapment by estoppel. Entrapment by estoppel basically says if you allow a distribution center to exist for a certain amount of time, that by inference, they are allowed to believe that they are legally operating, and that if you later decide at some random time period to just pull the rug out from underneath them and raid them, that that is not appropriate to do. You haven't given them due process and notification of their failing to comply with law. So in order to avoid communities being stuck with losing lawsuits against dispensaries by the entrapment by estoppel and the inevitable civil suits that could emanate from those successes, the legislature has decided to take up a bill that would specifically prevent one kind of business from suing communities, and that would be medical marijuana businesses.
Wow, just take away their right to sue just because of what they are in the business of. And folks, for that entrapment by estoppel, it's an interesting legal doctrine. It basically says that if something existed under the color of law, that like it seemed to be legal long enough and nobody ever busted it, then people are reasonable to assume it must be legal. And that's what's been going on in Michigan. You've had these outlets for so long. Wasn't there a recent Michigan Supreme Court case that had some impact on this?
Well, there's been a couple of different Michigan Supreme Court cases that have impacted different things, but we've seen some really crushing decisions coming down that were not favorable, including one in a case called Carruthers. Carruthers, the decision on that from the Court of Appeals made the presence of medibles and concentrates illegal under most circumstances and not valid for protection under the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. Now, that's important because the city of Detroit, as well as some of the other raid teams, narcotics raid teams across the state, are using this premise as the reason why they're coming to some of the distribution centers and breaking down their doors and taking all their equipment and stealing every single thing inside the buildings, leaving them much like, you know, little crumbs for mice to pick at. Because they may have edibles or concentrates on the shelf, and that may not technically be in compliance with the state law. So when you can't bust them because they were just there and doing their job for so long, now you try and find technicalities upon which to hang your fervor for shutting them down, and this is very successful.
Now, how do they, what's the reaction from the people in the communities? Because I remember medical marijuana was passed in every county in Michigan. It got like 63% of the vote. It beat John McCain in the state when he was winning it. And there's generally 60-70% support in the polls. So what's the reaction from the community?
Well, I can tell you the reaction, at least in one community, which is Montrose. Montrose is a little tiny suburb of the city of Flint. Flint's had a very nice dispensary program that's existed for a while now, where distribution centers are actually licensed by the city. When the Flint Area Narcotics Group came and raided the city of one of the two dispensaries in the city of Montrose, the former mayor and current mayor pro tem on the city council was furious. The county and state raid teams don't need the permission of the local community in order to come in and do these raids for the so-called violation of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. So we're seeing the raid teams overstep their bounds and really step on the toes of the locals, not only law enforcement, but also the citizenry as well. We see a lot of people raising their hands and saying, hey, look, there are two in the town, why did you only raid one and not the other? And, you know, what are we going to do when you raid the other one? We have no access. Many of the same issues that people normally have whenever we have distribution centers raided. But in this one, it's kind of crazy because, as you mentioned, our law was passed in 2008 and enacted in 2009. We've had 7 years of safe distribution in the state. And in many of these cities, there's never been police action against distribution centers at all. So it's a confounding, confusing situation, but it's also very suspicious, because when we see raids in Genesee County, in western Michigan, and in northern Michigan, which geographically are separated by hundreds of miles, Michigan is a very wild state, you're wondering whether there's a larger plan to disadvantage medical marijuana and marijuana in general.
Yeah, and it seems to be so unnecessary and really self-defeating when you consider what we've seen Detroit and Flint and other Michigan cities go through, where I imagine the medical marijuana industry is the only growth industry creating jobs in some of those places.
Well, it used to be in Detroit, but Detroit's enacted a pair of horrible ordinances which we fought against, and they would define medical marijuana distribution centers in a way that would make it difficult for anybody to do business in the city, including being very restrictive about where they'd be located, hours of operation, who can and cannot operate them or work there. We've, as a community, fought against this pair of ordinances and unsuccessfully so far. They rolled out the program March 1st, and they have to allow distribution centers to register by March 31st. The Corporation Council for the City of Detroit was just in the Detroit Free Press 2 days ago saying, come March 1st, or April 1st, when that 31-day period has expired, the Building and Safety Engineering Department, the Detroit Police Department, and the Legal Department will be making visits to every non-compliant distribution center in the city. They're really going on a religious, almost jihad-style fervor to shut down distribution centers, which really have a pretty good history of being good business professionals and good neighbors in most cases in the city. It's only been recently that we've seen some complaints pop up about some of those distribution centers. But there are currently about 235 in operation in the city of Detroit. When it's all said and done, we're going to be down to about 35.
Wow, that is unbelievable. We're speaking with Rick Thompson, and we're discussing the situation in Michigan as there's all sorts of legislative attempts here to short-circuit medical marijuana. Let's talk about the people's attempts to regain our rights. Is there anything happening with medical marijuana or legalization initiatives that we should know about?
Well, absolutely. In fact, there are three separate petition drives that have been approved by the state to collect petition signatures to legalize marijuana in Michigan, all of whom have their goals on getting on the November 2016 ballot. I am very proud to say that the only one that has a real chance to be successful is one that I happen to be on the board of directors of, MI Legalize. We've collected more than 250,000 signatures on petitions without any national funding, being completely grassroots funded and run by the activists and people in the state. So it's a huge thing. However, that has some danger fraught with it too. There's a rebuttable presumption process in our elections law, which says that if you collect signatures outside of the 180-day campaign period, which is described in law, you can still use those signatures provided you prove, number one, that the person was a registered voter at the time they signed, and also, number two, that they were a registered voter during that 180-day campaign period. Sounds easy, right? We're in the electronic age. Everything's on database. Should be a mouse click to confirm those things, right? Well, no. The Board of State Canvassers would like us to use a 1986 procedure involving paper affidavits verified by all 83 county clerks in order to certify that those signatures older than 180 days are going to be valid. Now, it would be unfair to say that it was just specifically targeted at cannabis. Not only is MI Legalize involved in this, but some anti-fracking petitions are involved too, and there certainly is a big oil and gas industry interest in suppressing our ability to petition in that way. But a lot of the criticism and a lot of the initiative that's been given to try and correct this 86 policy has come from our marijuana supporters, and specifically Attorney Jeff Hank from Lansing. So we have seen another piece of legislation be initiated by the Senate this time, Senate Bill 776, which specifically would take away that ability to rehabilitate those signatures outside the 180-day period.
Oh, wow.
Meaning that you'd only have those 180 days and that's it. And worse than that, Russ, they've tried to give it immediate effect, meaning it would now take precedence over the rules that existed when we began our campaign in 2015 and then attempt to invalidate MI Legalize's petition drive during 2016.
My goodness. The roadblocks and the hurdles weren't high enough, so they just want to take it all away from you. That's just unbelievable. Well, there's a lot to cover in Michigan, and I know you guys could use some help, and I know our listeners would like to know more. So can you give us some websites and campaign information if they want to get involved?
Absolutely. First of all, a shameless plug for my own website, which is thecompassionchronicles.com. That's a blog site where we reveal a lot of information about Michigan medical marijuana news and profiles of heroes of courage. Also, www.milegalize.com, M-I-L-E-G-A-L-I-Z-E. That is the website for our legalization campaign. And then also my radio program, which is www.planetgreentrees.com. We broadcast from Michigan once a week on Thursday evenings. And we cover a lot of these subjects as well. You can listen to it in podcasts so that you don't have to interrupt listening to CannabisRadio.com. That's for sure.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick Thompson. And I encourage people to check out Planet Green Trees, MI Legalize, and the Compassion Chronicles. Get all the information you need right there from one of the hardest working activists in the state of Michigan, Rick Thompson. I want to thank you for joining us here on the show, and good luck with everything as you move forward in Michigan.
My pleasure, Russ. Thank you.
All right, folks. Stay tuned. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the devastating case of Cindy Mae Meehan, the 13-year-old girl from Connecticut who had to flee to Maine, who died this Saturday from epilepsy. Where might she be now if we'd have never, ever taken up this insane prohibition of cannabis? We'll discuss that in the Radical Rant coming up next here, live on CannabisRadio.com. I'm Radical Russ in beautiful, sunny Scottsdale, Arizona, looking at an orange tree. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
From dabs to chivas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary. CannabisRadio.com.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
I hope everybody's got their vape pen handy or their pipe or their bong or whatever you use to do your medicine.
But you don't, it's not a requirement. You don't have to be high for this show.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I don't know who you're talking to. You have to be high to do anything. At least I do. I don't know about you. In fact, I've been high so long that being straight is another high.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
When the mainstream thinks of the prohibition of marijuana, they envision legions of young people who just want to smoke a joint. What they don't envision is legions of young people's lives that are devastated, derailed, and deceased. What they don't realize is that prohibition kills every day. Prohibition kills tens of thousands of Mexicans, Guatemalans, Hondurans, and other people south of our border who war over the trafficking of what we prohibit. Prohibition kills Americans who end up in a prohibition deal gone bad, be they dealers, buyers, or undercover cops. Most tragically, prohibition kills children who simply needed a prohibited plant to live. Cindy Mae Meehan was one of those children. Cindy Mae developed Dravet syndrome at 10 months old. That's the rare form of epilepsy we've seen chronicled in Little Paige Feige, the subject of Dr. Sanjay Gupta's Weed documentary. When Cindy Mae was diagnosed by doctors in her home state of Connecticut in June of 2002, there were just 8 states with medical marijuana programs: Alaska, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Maine, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington. Not Connecticut. And none of those 8 states had yet made progress in understanding the use of cannabidiol, or CBD, to treat seizures, although all of them allowed for the use of cannabis to treat it. Cindy Mae grew up racked by devastating seizures. She was given every pharmaceutical option doctors had available. Most of them were ineffective. Some of them made her condition worse. Cindy Mae's development suffered. As she grew from toddler to little girl, she'd lose the ability to walk, to talk, to even eat. Every seizure she suffered could have been her last. Now, imagine that's your child. Imagine the frustration and anger and helplessness and sorrow at watching this demon of epilepsy abuse your innocent daughter. Early in 2009, when Cindy Mae was roughly 7-8 years old, parents in Colorado and the West Coast began sharing stories of how medical marijuana, particularly that was high in CBD, was having a miraculous effect for their autistic and epileptic children. By 2012, 10 years after her initial diagnosis, Connecticut's legislature, finally passed a medical marijuana law. However, Connecticut's law does not allow for pediatric uses of cannabis. In 2013, Dr. Gupta's documentary aired. Now imagine that. You've been watching your child suffer for a decade. You've given her 23 different medicines that science has to offer, all to no avail. You read Facebook posts of Western parents finding relief with CBD, and your state finally makes it legal. And Dr. Gupta provides the public awareness that convinces you that this CBD treatment is the hope for your child. But your state says she's too young for that miracle. You have to uproot your whole family and move just to save her life. Cindy Mae's mother, Susan, forged ahead in 2013, moving herself and Cindy Mae to Maine, where she began treating Cindy Mae with cannabidiol oil. The change was remarkable. Cindy Mae relearned to talk. She was able to leave her wheelchair and walk. This month, she had been bowling and visited a water park. Cindy Mae and her family became fierce advocates for medical marijuana. They testified to the Connecticut legislature, begging for recognition of pediatric use, explaining their plight as medical marijuana refugees in Maine. They also lobbied in their adopted state of Maine, successfully, for the legislation to allow for pediatric use of cannabidiol at school. The rest of Cindy Mae's family moved to Maine last year, but her father stayed behind in Connecticut for work. On Saturday, he was in Augusta at the family home where Cindy Mae was playing and coloring. She had a short seizure and asked her daddy to hold her. In his arms, she stopped breathing and died. This death, and all the others, is on the hands of the countless bureaucrats, the law enforcers, and the propagandists, from Harry J. Anslinger to Kevin Sabet. It is the fear they've propagated for over a century, based in racism and anti-liberalism, that killed Cindy Mae. Fear. false evidence appearing real. Fear that reefer makes the darkies think they're as good as white men. Fear that marijuana is the gateway drug to heroin. Fear that smoking marijuana leads to a 6-point drop in IQ. So much fear, misinformation, and slander over a non-toxic healing herb. In 1878, the Philadelphia Medical Times published Cannabis Indica in the Treatment of Epilepsy. In 1885, Medical and Surgical Reporter published Notes on the Treatment of Epilepsy, addressing the use of cannabis in its treatment. In the 1910 textbook, Therapeutics, Materia Medica, and Pharmacy, 3 whole pages are dedicated to the use of cannabis in treating epilepsy. By 1937, the United States banned cannabis through the Marijuana Tax Act. By 1942, cannabis had been removed from the U.S. Pharmacopeia, the Physician's Guide to Medicines. If the crusade to stop adults from smoking pot for fun had never occurred, how much further along in the medical uses of cannabis would we be today? Cannabis wouldn't be the medicine of last resort, only available through desperate cross-country moves. It would be the first medicine you'd give your seizing child, and it would be available over the counter. Even today, with Pennsylvania becoming the 24th medical marijuana state, those states either ban pediatric use or they make it very arduous to comply with the law to use a non-toxic, non-psychoactive cannabis derivative because of the fear of teenagers smoking pot for fun. Other states have recognized the plight of these children and passed CBD-only laws specifically for epileptic children. But parents there often find that CBD without some THC doesn't work for their child, and like 10-year-old Texan Alexis Bortel, they have to leave their CBD state for Colorado, where they can use some THC as well. Today, there are more Americans, 51% of our population, living in a medical marijuana state. More Americans live under access to medical marijuana than do not. Medical marijuana states make up 273 votes in the Electoral College, 3 more than needed to elect a president. Support for medical use of cannabis polls between 65 and 90%, depending on who you ask. So it is far past time to end this prohibition at the federal level and free doctors in every state to pursue research and treatment of disability and disease with cannabis. Every day the president delays using his power under the Controlled Substances Act to reschedule cannabis is another day a father's daughter might die in his arms. President Obama, you're approaching the lame duck part of your last term. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain by ending this cruel prohibition on the medical use of cannabis. You can drop this down to Schedule 2 or 3 with the stroke of your pen. You have no more elections to win, and you're likely to have a Democrat follow you into the White House. Do the right thing, Barack Obama. Use your power under the Controlled Substances Act to save the next Cindy Mae Meehan. This rant with links will be available on my column, Radical Rant, at hightimes.com, if you'd like to pass that along and let other people know. I fight for the legalization of marijuana because it only when we are all free to use it for whatever reason will we be free to use it for medical reasons. The path of medical marijuana leads you to GW Pharmaceutical shelves and markups and high profits for corporations. If you want to grow a whole plant to treat your condition and save some money, you better start fighting for legalization. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ, live in Scottsdale. We're back for hour two right after this. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.